Today on Real Radio.
In fact, didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God abides in you? Why did he say that if the kingdom of God is coming in the second coming of Christ?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 17 of Luke in a mini-series called Is the Kingdom of God Near? The final seven verses give us more insight into what will happen in the last days and at the time of the Messiah's second coming. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Is the Kingdom of God Near?
Whatever the way you phrase the question, it's asked all around the world at all times. Is the kingdom of God near? Why is that important? That was the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus 2,000 years ago. Now we're in part two of that message, and I highly encourage you to get that part one so that you can find out the context and the chronology of where we're going today. We're building this message upon last message, and very important. I'll simply repeat this. 27% of your Bible that you have on your lap, over one quarter of your Bible on your lap is dedicated to what's called eschatology. That is the study of the prophetic events of the Bible, things about the future. 27%, 82% of that 27% has already been fulfilled. What remains is what's called the time of great tribulation found in the Bible. Did you know that? Pretty amazing. Everything that needs to be fulfilled for that great tribulation period to take place has already happened, and what remains is that next step of where there'll be this time where, according to the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, someone will step up out of Europe and they will have a peace plan regarding the nation of Israel, says the Bible, and it even tells you that that peace plan will be a peace plan for a seven-year duration. The Bible calls it a time of great deception. The world, the Bible says, will experience tremendous prosperity and peace, but it's a demonic prosperity and a demonic peace. And the Bible says that 3.5 years into that seven-year agreement, this man that we call the Antichrist, Mr. 666, a man that will come and bring peace to the Middle East. Does the Middle East need peace? Yes. But there's going to be some events that bring about a great cry for peace. So is the kingdom of God near? So much of the Bible deals with Bible prophecy. We need to be asking the questions like the Pharisees did, like the disciples. In fact, the disciples in Matthew 24, 3, the disciples later on will ask Jesus this series of questions. It says in verse 3, now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, here's their first question, tell us, when will these things be? Jesus talked about the events of the end of the age, the end of the world. So they said, tell us, when will these things be? Number two, what will be the sign of your return? That's the second coming. And number three, how will the world end? Three questions there in Matthew 24, 3. That's very, very powerful. Ask questions. That's how you learn. The disciples and even the Pharisees are asking, is the kingdom near? Well, listen, the end is not exactly near as you and I may think it is, but we are certainly getting closer to the events of what we would call the tribulation period. And what does it all mean? But we need to ask questions. Reminds me of a little boy. The little boy asked his dad, maybe you've heard this before. The little boy asked his dad, Daddy, why is grass green? And his daddy said, I don't know. So then the little boy said, well, Daddy, how is it that the moon's round like that? It's round. And the dad said, I don't know. So the little boy said, well, then, Daddy, how do birds fly? Surely you can tell me how birds fly. And his dad said, I don't know. Son, I don't know. So the little boy felt the irritation of his father, and he said, Daddy, I won't ask you any more questions. And the father said, no, 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 my son, you need to ask questions, because that's how you learn things. We need to ask questions. And I'm going to ask you to look at verse 30 down to verse 37. Is the kingdom of God near? Part two of our message, Luke 17. Even so, Jesus answers them and says, it will be in that day. You need to highlight those three words, in that day. You'll hear more about it today, but mark those words. It's code word for the events of the last days. The Hebrews say at the end of days. Your Bible calls them the last days, the end times, or in that day. In that day, he says, when the Son of Man is revealed, this is a global apocalypto, the global manifestation of the Son of God to all the world, the word revealed. In that day, verse 31, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. That's very important. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Two will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other one left. Two will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other one will be left. Verse 37, and they answered and said to him, church, are you with me? Everybody awake? Where, Lord? I need you to circle that. Where, Lord? Jesus is going to answer their question as to where are they taken. And he says, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Class, church, Bible students, remember this. When you study the Bible, in this case, Luke chapter 17, the context defines the chronology. When you read a chapter, there's a reason why things appear in the Bible as they do. It's not random. It's not haphazard. When God speaks and says something, there's a reason why you read, or we study here at Calvary, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's how you get a healthy grip on the Bible. How do we know what's coming next? How do we know what I should do next? Based upon context, which speaks of chronology. For example, any of you who have been involved in a cult, how do you create a cult? You take verses out of context and then build a doctrine upon it. That's how you build a cult. That's how you go crazy with religious things. You take it out of where it belongs, you take a verse or two out of the chapter and you build a belief system on it, and that's how you go astray. That's very important. Because the Pharisees are asking, look back at verse 20 from our last study. It says, now when the Pharisees asked him when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He said, well, wait a minute. I thought in that same chapter it reads about Jesus coming and every eye will see him and it'd be like lightning shining out of the east unto the west. Yes, that's true. But Jesus puts it in a chronological order based upon the context, meaning this, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, first of all. The kingdom of God, for example, right now, in fact, didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God abides in you? Why did he say that if the kingdom of God is coming in the second coming of Christ? Because both are the correct answers. Both are true, but one comes before another. If you were born into this world, and by the looks of you, you were once born into this world, Jesus said you must be born a second time again to get into the kingdom of heaven, right? You are all born by the flesh into this world, but to be born into the new world of Christ, of heaven forever, you've got to be born again, or let me say it this way, born twice. One must come first before the second. The kingdom of God, you and I are to invite the kingdom of God into us and thereby be a child of heaven or a child of God. That comes first. That must come now in your life. Who are you today? Do you know Christ? Does Christ know you? Those of you who know Jesus and Jesus knows you, you know it. You know that you're a child of God. To those of you who are guessing, you're not. And you need to change that today. You need to be born again, the Bible says. So first of all, the kingdom does not come with observation. It happens first inside of you. But there is a day coming, and that's what we're speaking about today, when the kingdom of God will come. Now, we looked at point one, point two, and point three last time. Now, note takers, we look at point four, verses 30 to 33. He comes in the days of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse 30, even so it will be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 31, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. In other words, we looked at it last time, get going. We'll talk about Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah in a moment. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Church, mark this down. The news as I speak, continuous coverage of the war in Israel right now. You say, oh my goodness, Jack, the world's falling apart. As I stand here, you know, if you're a news junkie like me, there is another battle plan being drawn. Pakistan and India are border to border, tank to tank, aircraft to aircraft, flying, patrolling up and down, looking at each other. Thousands and thousands of troops of India's war machine and Pakistan's war machine have lined up for war and battle at this hour as I speak to you. Israel's involved in a battle. Iran is saying we're going to remove Israel from the face of the earth. North Korea is rattling its sabers. Russia is arming our enemies. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela wants to destroy the United States, and Russia is selling him $1 billion worth of military equipment. What in the world's going on? Is the world coming apart at the seams? No. According to the Bible, the world is all falling into place. Did you know that? See, Pastor, it looks nuts. I understand it looks nuts. By the way, here's your homework for today. Get ready. I'm going to give you homework. You got to do it. You're going to get an F. When we talk about Jesus Christ returning in the second coming during the days of the nation of Israel, that has to happen. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36 to chapter 39, that's your homework. Chapters 36 to 39 of the book of Ezekiel speaks about a great, great recovery of the nation Israel. For 2,000 years, Israel has been dispersed through all the nations of the world. The Bible said they would. And the Bible says that before Christ would come back in the second coming, he would first of all gather together his people from the four corners of the earth and bring them back into their own land, Israel. He even calls it Israel in Ezekiel, written 3,650 years ago. He says, I'll bring them back into the land, their own land that I've given them. And not only that, it says that while they're in the land, they will come back in unbelief. Did you know Jews today say they believe in God, but they don't know their scriptures? They don't know the God that loves them. They don't know the God that has spoken to them. They don't understand him. They don't know him. Very few Jews even believe in him. But the Bible says that he would gather them back in unbelief. He's done that. The Bible says there in Ezekiel that the land would flourish and become very fruitful and productive. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I live in the most productive state of, I should say, let me put it this way. In California, we've got amazing dirt. We produce fruit for the world, fruit and vegetables for the world. Do you know who's number two in the world? Israel, a country the size of New Jersey. And the Lord said that in the last days, it would abound in its fruit. It would abound in its produce to the world. Up until 1948, it was a wasteland. God has been bringing that nation back together. No, everything's falling right into place. And the Bible spoke about that. It's amazing. But listen, everything, though it looks like it's falling apart, is coming into play and falling right into place. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, the Bible says, Jesus spoke and said regarding the future, during that time, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. Heart attacks will be upon the face of men because of the expectation of those things coming upon the face of the earth. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the coming of the Son of Man in clouds and power and great glory. Now listen, he gives you a clue. Verse 28 of Luke 21, he says, now when you see these things begin to happen, the stirring of them, the awakening of them, Jesus says, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but that's awesome news. Jesus said, when all of this stuff's getting ready to come about, he tells the believer, look up, get ready. How awesome is that? He says, then it says there, he spoke this parable to them and he said, look at the fig tree. And for that matter, all trees. When they are already budding, you see and you know. For you yourselves recognize that summer is here. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. So listen, are you guys with me? I know this is, are you with me? If you see somebody sleeping, you need to really hurt them. Before Jesus Christ could come back in the second coming, I'm not talking about the rapture. The rapture could happen right now. Or right now. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming when he comes to establish his kingdom. Big difference. Before that happens, certain things have to take place. And I'm going to give you just a few of them. Number one, the world would first have to see the gospel of Christianity, the message of the good news, spread around the world. Well, that's happened. Number two, the world would have to first of all see a global advent of cults. Jesus said before he comes back, there'd have to be a bunch of cults running around the world deceiving people. Is that not happening? My goodness, you can't even count them all. The world would first of all have to see a global economic system of trade and commerce based upon a cashless system. I don't know about you, but I never carry cash. How do you do your transactions? Do you do, when you're doing internet transactions, do you use cash? You use numbers, don't you? The Bible says that before the second coming can happen, there's going to be a system of commerce that's numerical based only. You won't even touch the money. It will go from one account to another cashlessly. I just made that word up. Strategery, cashlessly. And that's how we buy things. Personally, I think it's a great system because for me, I travel a lot. So what I do is I spend money using the card, which gives me miles per dollar I spend. And then at the 30 days comes the bill, I just pay the bill. And I've gotten free money. $1, 1 mile. Sometimes $1, 2 miles. That's smart, as long as you pay it off at the end of the 30 days, right? So use the system. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about a time when this man called the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene, and he's going to take that cashless system, and he's going to put a prefix to the number, whatever the number. Maybe it's a PIN number that you and I have. Maybe it's a Social Security number. I don't know. Some bank number. I don't know. But listen how brilliant of an idea it is. He will demand a preface number to be put upon your life or my life or those who are living. He'll demand it, and the preface will be like your area code or like your zip code. But that number, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6, chapter 13, what it is. And that prefix is 666, and then your number. And nobody, the Bible says, will buy or sell in the world without the mark or the number or his name being 666. You say, Jack, you're kidding me. I'm not kidding you. 2,000 years ago, your Bible said that we'd see a cashless system of trade. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we are on the brink. Because when you see global terrorism, when you see human trafficking, when you see drug trafficking, all based upon money, there's no smarter way. Listen, you want to, here's a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. You want to stop terrorism? You don't have to drop bombs. You cut off the money flow. You want to stop prostitution? You don't blow up prostitutes, drop bombs on prostitutes. You stop the money flow. You want to stop drug trafficking? You don't blow up drug traffickers. You stop the money, believe me. You stop the money. And the Bible knows this. God knows this. You put in a numerical system and stop the money, and now everyone's registered. You know who everybody is. On top of it, the Bible says that number will be in their right hand or on their forehead. Now you can track them. Amazing. Absolutely powerful. The Bible speaks of this stuff. That would have to happen. The Bible says that there'd be an increase in world wars and threats of wars. We're living in those days. But they're going to increase. The Bible talks about, listen, Jerusalem in Israel would become the most burdensome city of the world. Written 3,700 years ago, Jerusalem would be a burdensome city to the nations of the world. Is that not awesome? Every major world country and leader has to deal with whatever decisions they make, how will it affect their relationship with Israel, specifically Jerusalem, and what to do about Jerusalem. Already, and by the way, let's do him justice. He asked us this week to do this. Barack Hussein Obama, that's what he asked on the news this week. He said, call me by my middle name now. He's going to swear on the Abraham Lincoln's Bible. He's going to swear on Abraham Lincoln's Bible, and he has declared that he's going to start using his middle name to bridge the gap between America and Islam. He said it. Don't get mad at me. He said it. Go read it. The pressure that's going to be on Barack, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for him because the pressure of what Muammar Gaddafi said, our Muslim brother. Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, is calling Barack Obama his Muslim brother. Now, having said that, can you imagine the pressure that's going to be on Hussein Obama, to coalesce and acquiesce to the demands of militant Islam around the world? I would not want to be Barack for anything. By the looks of Barack on the news recently, he doesn't want to be Barack anymore either. Can you imagine taking that position? The world is coming apart at the seams, or everything's coming right together. And the whole issue that he's already getting pressure on is, what will you do with Jerusalem and dividing Jerusalem? I promise you, the next administration will probably divide Jerusalem because the book of Joel chapter 3 says so. Jerusalem will probably be divided. And that's the beginning of the end. The world will first have to see violent racial divisions increasing around the world. That's happening. But by far the most important thing of all would be that the world would see a regathering of the nation of Israel back into its homeland. And that's what we're seeing. Also this, verse 31 teaches us that Israel would become the focus of attention around the world. In that day, he was on his housetop. That's all we need to read. That's Jewish terminology, Jewish words, Middle Eastern talk. None of us live on top of our roof. If you do, you probably had a fight with your wife. Nobody lives on the roof. In Israel, everybody lives on the roof. You cook inside, and it's about summer, 10 months out of the year, and you go out and you eat on the patio on top of the roof. It's fantastic up there. It's very well decorated. They have, it's beautiful. Jesus said, listen, if you're on top of the roof, get down and get out of town. That's very, very localized, very, very specific. Isaiah 11:11 says, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people Israel who are left. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, he gives list, even to the ends of the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations, and I will assemble, listen, the outcast of Israel and gather them together, the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You may not even be a believer in the Bible, and that's got to get your attention. Jews are going home to Israel, and they weren't even born there. Why? Because God said, before I come back, I'm going to bring them back into their own land. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the surrounding nations when they lay siege against it, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day, that's that code word again, in that day that I make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the nations, and all who heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered against it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a presentation called Is the Kingdom of God Near? It's actually a mini-series that looks at Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 17, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament record, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that if you haven't logged on to the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. realradioactive.org. Just a quick point and click will take you to podcasts, MP3s, special offers, resources, even our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, which is seen on television as well as on hischannel.com. You'll find it all at the new realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.